Shalom to all. Today's office of Abbasadav, Kufai, and Gimel. We are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Marsh Merim Sar Abbas, Yaakov Moshe, Her Neshama should have an Uliyah. Now, we concluded yesterday that both Abaye and Rabba agree that we are not Chayshesh for a star falling from one person being found by another person with the very same name. Therefore, the following inference from the Mishnah is correct. Although, if there are two Yosef ben Shimons in the same city, they cannot collect from each other, nor can others collect from them, they could collect from others. However, now the Gemara asks, V'el HaDetanya, what about the following Braisa? Kashem She'in Moitin Shtar Chayv Zal Zeh, just like these two Yosef ben Shimons can't bring out a Shtar Chayv one against the other, Kach Ein Moitin Al Acherim, they also can't take out a Shtar Chayv against somebody else. And this Braisa is a clear steerer to the inference from our Mishnah. The Gemara suggests, Mike Miflegi, what's Machlekes between the Braisa and the Mishnah? But Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira Kemiflegi, the Machlekes is, our Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira, we already mentioned this previously, namely, when a Shtar is given from one person to another, that's just considered Oishes, it's letters, and the letters are referring to what's written in the Shtar. Could that be halachically acquired by simply handing it over, or do we need something else in order to be able to acquire that? Tanu Don Savar, we would say that our Tanu holds Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira, that Oishes are acquired by Mesira. Therefore, if Yosef Ben Shimon 1 comes to Bezin with a Shtar saying that Reuven owes him money, even if you want to say that maybe the Shtar originally was Yosef Ben Shimon number 2 Shtar, it doesn't make a difference. Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira, and we would assume that Yosef Ben Shimon number 2 gave it to Yosef Ben Shimon number 1, and therefore he's allowed to collect with it. But Tanu Baras Savar, but the Tanu of the Brisa holds, ain't Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira, that Oishes are not Nikas Ben Mesira, and even if Yosef Ben Shimon 2 gave the Shtar to Yosef Ben Shimon 1, he's still not allowed to collect with it because that's not considered a proper kinyan. Alternatively, we could say Dukuli Alma Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira. Everyone holds that Oishes are Nikas Ben Mesira, and therefore if Yosef Ben Shimon, who's walking into Bezin right now, got the Shtar from the other Yosef Ben Shimon, it's no problem. It's still considered his Shtar. Over here, the Mamachalikas is whether a person has to bring a Raya. For example, let's say Reuven walks into Bezin trying to collect money from Shimon, and the document that he's holding onto has Levi's name on it, meaning Levi was a lender. Does Reuven have to bring a Raya that he's the one that's rightfully allowed to collect with the Shtar, and that he didn't steal it or find it, or no? Tanya Don Savar, the town of our Mishnah holds, Ein Tzarich Lavi Raya, he doesn't have to bring a Raya, and therefore when Yosef Ben Shimon walks into Bezin with the Shtar saying that he's owed money, no problem, he could collect with it. Utana Bras Savar, the town of the Brisa holds, Tzarich Lavi Raya, he would still have to bring a Raya that he got the Shtar in a proper, correct, halachic way from the other Yosef Ben Shimon, and only then he'd be allowed to collect with it. And we actually see this in Machlekes Amoraim, the Itmar was stated, Oishes Nikas Ben Mesira, everyone agrees, Oishes are Nikas Ben Mesira, however, Abaye says, Tzarich Lavi Raya, a person has to bring a Raya. So even if a person is walking to Bezin with a Shtar that the bearer of the Shtar is owed money, he still has to bring a Raya that he has the right to have the Shtar. He either bought it or is given to him as a gift or something like that. Whereas Rava, Amar Rava says, Ein Tzarich Lavi Raya, he doesn't have to bring a Raya. Amar Abaye explains, Mana Amin Allah, how do I know this? The Tanya, we have a brass that tells us, Echman Achen Shtar Chayv Yetz Mitachas Yadai, we have a brother who has a Shtar Chayv coming from him. For example, the father Yaakov died, and there's a bunch of brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they're all the Yarshim of the state. They have not divided this state yet, and then one of the brothers, Reuven, comes to Bezdin with a Shtar Chayv from their father, claiming that this is really my Shtar Chayv. My father gave it to me, or my brothers gave it to me, and therefore I'm the one that gets to collect this debt, and I don't have to split it with my brothers. The Braisa tells us, Olav Lavi Raya, he has to bring a Raya that he has the right to collect it alone, and that he didn't steal the Shtar from his brothers. Now, my life says, Abaye, Hua Din Lachrini, that the same would apply to somebody else walking into Bezdin with a Shtar that doesn't have his name on it, and he's trying to collect that debt on the Shtar, he would have to bring a Raya that he's allowed to have the Shtar. However, Rav Amarava answers this by saying, Shani Achen, the case of brothers is different. Deshamtu Me'adadi, because it's very likely that they're going to snatch things from each other. Very often when a parent dies, there's fights over Yerusha, and there are stories that come out that this brother snatched this and that brother took that, even though they weren't allowed to. And that's why in this situation, Rava explains that the Braisa tells us he would have to bring a Raya, but in a standard situation, a person coming to Bezin with a Shtar would not have to bring a Raya. Now, Igadami, some say that the Raya was the other way around. Amar Rava, Rava was the one that said, Minami Nallah, how do I know that when a guy comes to Bezin with a Shtar, he doesn't have to bring a Raya, that he has the right to collect with it? The Tanya of the Braisa tells us, if one of the brothers has a Shtar Chayv and he's claiming that it's his and he has the right to collect it and he doesn't have to give any to his brothers, he has to bring a Raya. And Rav explains, this is only with brothers, since they'll snatch from each other, they'll take stuff that they're not allowed to, that's why he has to bring a Raya. But when a random guy comes to Bezin with a Shtar, he doesn't have to bring a Raya. Whereas he would respond, the whole chiddush over here is that brothers would have to bring a Raya. I would have thought, since it's very common that brothers will snatch and take things from each other that they're not allowed to, I would say that they're usually very careful to make sure that their brothers don't take things, and therefore if a brother comes to Bezin with a Shtar, he doesn't have to bring a Raya that he has the right to collect it by himself, because how else did he get it if not for the fact that it's his rightfully? The chiddush is that even in such a case he would have to bring a Raya. But of course Abaye says, if a random guy walks into Bezin with a Shtar, he also would have to bring a Raya. Now the Gemara goes back to what we had started out with today, this idea of two Yosef ben Shimons and who's allowed to collect. What about the following Braisa? Just like two Yosef ben Shimons living in the same city, they're allowed to pull out a Shtar Chayv against somebody else and collect, kach mitzin zel zeh, they're even allowed to take out a shtar chayiv against each other. And that's definitely not like our Mishnah or the Braisa. The question is, my kamifligi, what's machoikas? And the answer is, because in shtar loivev, alfa misha in malva ima kamifligi. Machoikas is, are we going to write a shtar for the loive even though the malva is not there? Tani don savar, our tana holds, because in shtar loivev, alfa misha in malva ima, that we will write a shtar for the loive even though the malva is not there. And we might run into the following issue. Zimin to azal gabi safra, it could be that one of these Yosef ben Shimons is going to go to the sefer, visadi, there's going to be edim there, v'amr luhu, and he's going to tell them, kisvili shtara, please write a shtar for me, debin lamezef mi Yosef ben Shimon chaveri, because I want to borrow money from Yosef ben Shimon, who's my friend, and who basu dekazi v'chasmile, after they write a shtar for him and sign it, because they're thinking that this Yosef ben Shimon in front of them is going to now go to Yosef ben Shimon number two, ask him to borrow money, and then hand him the shtar that they just wrote. But in truth, what's he going to do? Nikita le, he's going to take the shtar, v'amr le, and tell Yosef ben Shimon number two, havli me'ed Yosef minai, give me that 100 that you borrowed from me, because the shtar says that Yosef ben Shimon borrowed 100 from Yosef ben Shimon. And because this chashash, the tan of our Mishnah and the Braisa above, tells us that when we have two Yosef ben Shimons living in the same city, one of them is not able to take out a shtar against the other one trying to collect money. Where the tan of Braisa over the tan of this new Braisa holds, ain't kasun shtar loiva ad shei malva imai, that we can't write a shtar for the loiva unless the malva is there anyway. And therefore, we're never going to run into this chashash. And so if Yosef ben Shimon 1 goes over to Yosef ben Shimon 2 with a shtar stating that Yosef ben Shimon owes Yosef ben Shimon $100, he's allowed to collect with it, because there's no way that we would have written the shtar in the first place without both Yosef ben Shimon's there. We continue explaining the Mishnah, Nimsel Echad Ben Shtaroysav, Shtar Shal Yosef ben Shimon Perua, Shtar Shnehen Peruin Vechulu. Let's say some guy's going through all of his shtaris, and he finds a document that says the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is paid off, and he had two Yosef ben Shimons that owed him money, but he doesn't know which Yosef ben Shimon paid him back, so we say that both Yosef ben Shimons paid him back, and he can't collect from either of them, because we don't know which one he's able to go to. The Gemara now makes the inference, Taima de Nimsa. It seems to be the reason why he can't collect from either Yosef ben Shimon is because he found this document that said that one of them paid back. But that's mashma, haloi nimsa, that if he doesn't have a document like this, matzi mapek, that he is able to take his shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon owes him money and collect with it. The problem with that is, v'anan, v'loi achar yocholai tzialein shtar chayv tanan. We said very clearly in our Mishnah that somebody is not allowed to take out a shtar against Yosef ben Shimon because it could be that shtar is really for the other Yosef ben Shimon. But we just inferred the opposite. So Rabbi Yuri, Rimi answers, b'mishulashin. This inference in the Mishnah is referring to a case where they were mishulashin. Namely, he had lent money to the two Yosef ben Shimons in the city, and on the shtar, it said Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, and the other one said Yosef ben Shimon ben David. That's Mishulashin. We went to the third generation, and so then he knows for sure whom he could collect from. The Gemara asks if that's really so. Why don't you just take a look at the receipt then to see whose name is written on it? If the original Shtar Halva had their grandfather's names, so we're able to differentiate between the two Yosef ben Shimons, just take a look at the Shaver, the receipt, and see which Yosef ben Shimon paid. And that we answer, Amar Rav Yishai. Rav Yishai tells us, Mishulashin Mishtarve, Mishulashin Mishaver, that only on the original Shtar Halva it has the third generation, so we know who borrowed the money, but the Shaver, the receipt, did not have the grandfather's name, so we don't know who paid it back. Therefore, the Malva is not able to go to either one of them. Whereas Rabbi explains totally different. Hachi Kamar, this is what we're saying. Nimtzel loive bein shtaroysav. If the loive, the borrower, finds among his shtarois a receipt that says shtar shel Yosef ben Shimon olai perua, the shtar that Yosef ben Shimon has against me, I paid that up already. Shtar shnei peruin. So both their shtars are considered paid because since we don't know which Yosef ben Shimon he paid, he doesn't have to pay the other one who's going to come with his shtar, unless of course that Yosef ben Shimon can prove that he's owed money. And lastly, we explain the Mishnah, Ketzad Yasu Yishalesh V'chulu, how are we supposed to differentiate between the two Yosef ben Shimons? So we should mention the third generation, the grandfathers, and if the grandfathers have the same name, we should mention some sort of identifying feature, and if they have the same identifying feature, then we should say that one of them is a Kayin, if one of them is a Kayin. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana, Braisa tells us, Im Hayushnem Kayanim, if both of them happen to be Kayanim, so Yechdivu Dairais, they should mention Dairais, which is the fourth generation, and that far back, there's no way that their great grandfathers have the same name, and that way we'll be able to differentiate between them. Moving on to another Mishnah, Ha'imr L'Benoi, let's say a man tells his son before he dies, Shtar Ben Shtaroisai Perua, one of my shtaris, among all the other ones, is already paid up, Ve'eni Yedei Ezehu, and I don't know which one it is, and therefore I don't want you to go and collect from somebody who already paid me, I'm going to get punished in Shemayim for that. What's the din? Shtaris Kulin Peruin, all the shtaris are considered paid off, because the son doesn't know whom to collect from and whom not to collect from. Now let's say Nimtzel Echad Sham Shnayim, there's one guy that has two shtaris there. The father had a bunch of shtaris that people owed him money, but there was one person, Ruvain Ben Yaakov, that had borrowed twice from the father, so there's two different shtaris. Hagadol Perua, Vakatan Ena Perua, we say that the bigger shtar is considered paid up, whereas the smaller shtar is not, because again, since there's a suffix on all the shtaris that they might have been paid up, we would say that the bigger one is paid, just not the smaller one. Now the Gemara tells us, Amarav Rava says, let's say one man tells another, Shtal Chabiyadi Perua, the shtar that you have with me is paid up, Hagadol Perua, Vakatan Ena Perua, if there was two shtaris, we say the bigger loan was paid up, and the smaller one was not. Whereas let's say this man told the other, Chayv Chabiyadi Perua, the chayv that you have by me is paid up, Shtar is Kulan Peruin, all the different chayvas, all the shtars that he has are considered paid because we understand understand the word chayv l'chabiyadi to mean the entire debt that you owe me that's scattered across a bunch of shtaras, that whole thing is paid so you don't owe any money. However, Amar Ravina l'Rava, Ravina asked Rava, El Me'atav, that's really so, would we say the following, Sadi Mechura l'cha, if one guy tells another, my field is sold to you, Sadi Gdala Mechura l'ay, that his big field should be sold to him, and if he says, Sadi Shiyash li Mechura l'cha, that the field that I have is sold to you, Kol Sadaisa Mechura l'ay, that all of his fields are sold to him, the same in the case of a loan, when he says, Chayv l'chabiyadi perua, we understand that to mean that all the chayvis are paid off, even though they're recorded in different shtaris, well then maybe we should say that if Reuven tells Shimon, my field is sold to you, we understand that to mean that all of his fields are sold to him, and that really doesn't make so much sense. So he responded, no, Hasam over there, Yad Baal Shtar Tachtoina, the one who has the shtar, he has the lower hand, he's at the disadvantage, and therefore we're able to say that in the case of the chayv, but in the case of selling a field, we always say that the meicher always has the upper hand, and therefore we do not interpret his statement of Sadi Shiyashli Mechur Lecha or Sadi Mechur Lecha to mean that the lekach gets better and gets more, the lekach is always at the disadvantage. Moving on to another Mishnah, now discussing guarantors for a loan. Hamavas Chaveiro de Arev, a person lends his friend money and there's an Arev, there's a guarantor there. He says, don't worry, I'll guarantee the loan, everything's going to be okay. Loi Parmen Arev, he's not allowed to collect from the Arev, and the Gemara is going to explain in which situation he's not allowed to collect from the Arev. Kavan Gimel Abez on top, however, Vim Amar Loi, if the Malva told him, Almanas Shepar Misha Erze, I'm lending this money on condition that I can collect payment from whoever I want, Yipar Min Arev, he could collect from the Arev. Now, Rishim Gamliel tells us, Im Yesh Lechasim Loive, if the Loive has Nechasim, if he has property, Benkach Ubenkach Loipar Min Arev, in either situation, it doesn't make a difference what was said at the time of the loan, the lender, the Malva, is not allowed to collect from the Arev. Vachener Rishim Gamliel, Im Rishim Gamliel also said, Ha Arev L'Ishab Iksubasa, if a man is a guarantor for a woman, for Iksuba, meaning he says, I'm going to pay the Iksuba if your husband can't, Vahaya Bala Magarsha, and her husband divorces her, so now the Arev has to pay, Yadi Rena Hana, the husband has to make a nether of Hana that this ex-wife of his is not allowed to have Hana from him anymore. Shemiyasu Kenunya al Nechasim Shalzeh V'yachzer Zishtai. Maybe this whole thing is just a trick in order to get the Nechasim of the Arev. Now the man's going to remarry his wife. She's going to bring in all these extra Nechasim that she just received for Iksuba, and now they're richer as a couple. That's a wonderful way to make money. And therefore, in order to prevent that, he has to make this nether of Hana against his wife that she's not allowed to have Hana from him. This has to be done in Bezdin. It's done al das everyone, and that means his nether has no Hatara. We can't undo this nether with a Chacham, and therefore, no Kenunya is ever going to be able to take place because he's never going to be able to remarry his wife. Nothing more asked at the beginning of the Mishnah, my time, why is this? We had said in the beginning of the Mishnah that when there's an Arev for a loan, we can't collect from the Arev. Why would that be? So Rabbi Yosef Dami Chavai, both of them answer, because the Arev could say, Gavra Ashlimtli, Gavra Ashlimi Lach. Literally, this means you gave a man to me, so I'm giving a man to you. Basically, the Arev is telling the Malva that I only guaranteed the loan if the Loiva isn't here. He either died or ran away. But since the Loiva is here, so I'm, so to speak, handing the man over to you, here's the Loiva, go collect from him, I don't have to pay you. However, Maskel Rav Nachman, asks on this din, Hai din de Parsai, this is a Persian din. The Gemara right away asks on Rav Nachman, Adarab, it's actually the opposite, Basar Arva Azli. The Persians, they go directly to the Arev, to the guarantor, and they skip the Loiva out in the first place. So how can you say this is what Persians do? If anything, by saying that the Malva is not allowed to go to the Arev, that's definitely not like the Persians. So Gemara explains this is really what Rav Nachman meant. El, or rather, Bei din de Parsai, Dlo Yavi Taimel Melsayu. By saying this din in the Mishnah, that's like the Bez din of Persians, that they don't give a reason for why they paskin one way or another, and it's the same thing in the Mishnah. By saying that the Malva can't collect from the Arev without any reason for it, that's like a Persian Bezdin. Elam Rav Nachman, rather Rav Nachman explains our Mishnah totally differently. My lo yipara min Arev, what does it mean in our Mishnah that the Malva can't collect from the Arev, from the guarantor? It means lo yitba Arev tchila, that he can't go right away to the Arev and demand money. He first has to go to the Loiva, and only then, if the Loiva doesn't have any money, so then he could go to the Arev. And Taina Mehachav, the passage just like this, Hamavet Chaber Ali de Arev, if a person lends money to his friend and there's an Arev, a guarantor, lo yitba Arev tchila, he cannot go to the Arev first. However, in Amar, if at the time of the loan, the Malva said, Almanashi Paramisha Erza, I'm lending this money on condition that I can get paid back from whomever I want, Yitba Arev Tchila, so then he could go to the Arev first. Now, Rav Huna tells us, Minan la Arev de Mishtabed, how do we know, meaning what's the source of the Pasuk, that an Arev, a guarantor, is actually Mishabed himself and he's chayv to pay? That's because the Pasuk says, when Yehuda tried to convince Yaakov to send Binyamin with him when they were going back to Yosef, the following lashon was used, Anoichi Erevenu, I will be his guarantor, Miyadi Tevakshenu, you could demand him from me. And so we see that one could demand money from the guarantor. Rav Maskel Rav Chizza asks, Ha Kablon is he? This is considered Kablonus. This is not a Revus. And we're going to see in the continuation of the Gemara and really in more detail tomorrow that a Kablon is very much like a guarantor. He just has more responsibility than a guarantor does. And that's what Chizza is asking, that you're right. We do see the concept of a person being a guarantor from this Pasuk, but it's only talking about Kablonus, not a Revus. Why is that? Because the Pasuk also says, Tana Oysoyal Yadi Vani Ashivenu, you give him to me and I'll return it. And the Lashon of Tana is a Lashon of Kablonus, not of a Revus. And therefore, Elam Rav Yitzchak Vitzchak says, Mehacha, we learn it from the following Pasuk. This Pasuk in Mishlei is where we're going to see Arvas from. The Pasuk tells us, Lakach Bigdoi Ki'ar Avzar, take his garment because he was an Ari for a stranger, Uba'ad Nochriya Chablehu, and because of a foreigner, take his security from him. So we see very clearly from this pasuk that we're talking about an Arev and not a Kablan. Va'aymer, and an earlier pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Bini, my son, Ima Rafta L'Riacha, if you were an Arev for your friend, or Tekatul Zar Kapecha, you gave a stranger your palm, both these are talking about being a guarantor. The pasuk continues, Nakashta Be'imre Ficha, Nilkata Be'imre Ficha, you got ensnared or you got caught by something your mouth said, meaning you insulted somebody. Aseizais Eifai Bini, this is what you should do, my son, Vihinotzel, and you'll be saved. Kibas B'chafreyacha, when you come to the palm of your friend, Lech Hisrapes Urahavreyacha. Now we explain, what does the end of the pasuk mean? If he has money in your hand because you guaranteed the loan, hater loy pisas yad, you should open up the palm of your hand for him. That's the lashon of lech hisrapes. Hisrapes is lashon of hater loy pisas yad, open up your palm for him and pay him. Vimlav, if not, if it's not a situation where you're a guarantor for the loan, rather it's about the second part of the pasuk that you got ensnared or caught by your mouth because you insulted somebody. So then harbe olav reyim, you should increase friends over him. That's the lashon of rahav re'echa. Switch the letters of rahav around to be harbe. Send a lot of your friends to him to ask him for forgiveness, and that's the way you're going to deal with that situation. And so we see that there's another pasuk in Mishlei that talks about an arev. Now, Amar Meimar, Meimar suggests as follows: Arev de Mishtabed, Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. Whether or not an arev is Mishabed himself to actually pay for the loan that he's guaranteeing is Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi, the Amar Asmach the Kanya, Arev Mishabed. According to Rabbi Yosi, who holds Asmach the Kanya, so Arev is Mishabed himself. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Asmach the Loi Kanya, Arev Loi Mishabed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Asmach the Loi Kanya, and Arev is not Mishabed himself. We had this before, this concept of Asmachta, where a person says he's going to do something, for example, that he'll give extra money if he doesn't pay on time, and the machlokes says whether or not he's actually mishabed himself with his asmachta. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why he's not mishabed himself is because he never really thinks he's going to have to pay this extra money due to the fact he really thinks he's going to pay on time. That was the other example. Over here, the way Meimar's understanding Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that an arev would never guarantee the loan if he knows for sure that the loiv is not going to pay, and therefore it's just an asmachta and asmachta like kanya. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, asmachta is kanya. It does bind him to guarantee the loan and pay up if the loiv doesn't pay. However, Amalei Ravashi LaMeimar, Ravashi told HaMeimar, HaMaiz B'chol Yoyim, Asmachta Loi Kanya. We see stories every single day that Asmachta is Loi Kanya, it's not binding. However, V'Arev Mishtabed, an Arev is Mishtabed, and he does have to pay for the loan if the Loiv doesn't pay. Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi explains that the reason why an Arev has to pay has nothing to do with Asmachta. It's Ba'ahu Anah to Kabahem and Lei, Gomer Mishtabed Navshe. This Hanah that he, the Arev, receives, namely that the Malva is lending money to the Loiv because he trusts the Arev that he's going to pay up if something happens. So because of that Hanah, he's Mishabed himself, and it's as if, in a way, he's borrowing the money himself, and that's why, even if you hold Asmachta Loi Kanya, being an Arev, a guarantor, is not an Asmachta, and therefore he would be chayv to pay. I think we're going to take in the Mishnah, which had said, Vim Amar Al Menashe Par Misha Eretz V'Chulu, that if the lender had said at the time of the loan that I'm lending this money on condition that I could collect from whomever I want, so then he could go to the Arev. Now, Amar Rav Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he tells us, Loi Shanu, this is only taught, Ela She'en Chasam Loive, that's only if the Loive does not have any property. Aval Yash Chasam Loive, if the Loive has property, Loi Par Min Arev, so then the Malva is not allowed to go to the Arev. Ask the Gemara, how could you say this? Well, Mektani Seifa. The next part of the Mishnah told us, Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Im yesh nechasim loive, loy par min ha'arev, that if the loive has nechasim, so then the malva can't go to the Arev. Now, Mechlal then applies, Tanakama Sava, Tanakama holds, loy shna hachi, loy shna hachi, it doesn't make a difference if the loive has property to pay, the malva could go directly to the Arev, because it's clear there's a machlokes between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. And Rav Shimon Gamliel does not allow the malva to go to the Arev if the loive has property, and must be Tanakama holds that even if the loive does have property, the malva could go directly to the Arev. So Gemara answers, no problem, Chasurim Mechzor, Mahachitani. Really, the Mishnah is missing something, and this is what should be taught. Hamavas Chaver Ali De Arev, a person lends his friend through an Arev, Loi Parmen Arev, the Malva is not allowed to go to the Arev directly, he has to first go to the Loive, and only then he can go to the Arev. Vim Amar, if he said, Al Menashe Par Misha Erza, I'm lending this on condition that I can get repaid from whomever I want, you Parmen Arev, he is allowed to get paid from the Arev. However, Medvar Marim, when was it said, Bishain Nechasim Loive, only when the Loive doesn't have Nechasim. Aval Yesh Nechasim Loive, if the Loive does have Nechasim, Loi Parmen Arev, the Malva is not allowed to go directly to the Arev, even though he made the stipulation from the beginning, I want to be able to collect from whomever I want, it doesn't make a difference. If the Loive has Nechasim, he's got to go to the Loive. Now we have to add in the following, the Kablan. If we're dealing with a Kablan, not an Arev, Afal Pishi Yesh Nechasim Loive, even if the Loive does have Nechasim, still, you parmen a Kablan, the Malva could go to the Kablan because he made the stipulation at the beginning of the loan that I want to be able to collect from whomever suits my fancy. And it's on this, Kofayin Dan Omraf on top, the Rishim Gamaliel Emer, Rishim Gamaliel said, Im Yesh Nechasim Loive, if the Loive has property, Echad Zev Echad Zev, it doesn't make a difference if he's an Arev or a Kablan, Loi Parmehen, he's not allowed to go to the guarantor and he has to go to the Loive. And that's what Machlekes Tanakama Rav Shimon Gamliel is, specifically in the case of the Kablan, where the Malva made this stipulation, I want to be able to collect from whomever I want, and the Loive has Nechasim, according to Tanakama, he's still allowed to go straight to the Kablan, whereas according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, he has to go to the Loive. And I would just conclude that Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Makom Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Mishnah Seinu. Anytime Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is taught in our Mishnah, Halacha Kamaisa, Halacha is like him, Chutz Me Arev, Vitzidon, V'Rai Achrayna, except for the case of Arev, which is our case. Tzidon is a story with a get that happened in Tzidon, and Rai Achrayna is regarding multiple Rais that were brought to Bezdin. In those three cases, we do not pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss Arev and Kablan. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.